Welcome back to another episode of Dream Real. On the show today, we have Mr. Stuart Russell, who is an award-winning artist, poet, and writer. Stuart has a fascinating story, mainly because as a kid growing up, he was told that he'd never make it as an artist and that he'd never be a success. And in this episode, Stuart shares with us his story and exactly how he was able to prove the doubters wrong and achieve things beyond his wildest dreams. So this episode is brought to you by the Dream Executive Book Club, which is a list of books that have changed the way I live and think about my life. I believe these books can help you to do more of what you love and live the good life. So every time a book is purchased through the book club, that'll generate a small commission at no extra cost to you. That money helps me keep the show going. But from now up until the end of the year, I'm actually going to donate all that money to the Dream School Project, which is a quest to raise £17,000, which is about $25,000, to help build a school with Pencils of Promise. We're actually holding an event on the 4th of July, which is an attempt to climb the highest mountains in Scotland, England, and Wales within 24 hours. If you'd like to join us, hit me up on Twitter, that's at DreamExec. If you can't make it but want to help, again, go to dreamexec.com/books. And when you make that purchase, it will help the cause. And you know, you'll have a brand new shiny book as well. So thanks again for listening. I will now leave you with Mr. Stuart Russell. Enjoy the show. Okay, shall we do it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, here we go. This is Dream Real, the weekly show dedicated to the people who want to follow their dreams and do more of what they love. My name is Mike McNally. My guest today is Mr. Stuart Russell. Stuart is an award-winning artist, poet, and writer. Some of his awards include the Young Scot Award, the BT Young Entrepreneur Award, and the British Empire Award in 2014 for his services to the arts. Stuart is also the founder of Arts in Fife and Arts in Britain. His aim is to inspire and investigate positivity via the media. Stuart, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the show, Stuart. I'm really looking forward to finding out more about your journey. So I've got to ask, starting off, what is it like for you growing up in Fife in Scotland? What was your childhood like?
Well, my childhood was good, actually. Fife's a strange place. It's full of a collection of small towns, and it's a mix between rural and coastal, and then there's towns just plonked in the middle, so it's a really odd place to grow up. It's, it's like coming from the country, almost. Uh-huh. And then so when you go to the city and things, you're like, wow, it's big. But it was good.
Cool. So when you were a young kid growing up, what were your kind of dreams? What did you want to do when you got older?
Well, when I was about three, I was watching TV and I used to see people like, I grew up in the 90s, so there was loads of crazy people on TV in the 90s. You know, a lot of plastic surgery going about. So I saw all these weird looking people and I thought they are so unique and different, and I never really fit in, so I thought these were the people I could relate to, you know, these crazy creative people on TV. And I thought, I want to somehow use creativity to become successful. So,
cool. So what kind of, who were those kind of interesting people you were referring to?
Well, it was people on TV, daytime TV when I was really young, like Joan Rivers and stuff, like just people who clearly didn't fit in, just they didn't look like they fit in. And they were, you know, rocking the boat and things. There was people like Pete Burns rocking about on TV, and, you know, just people I'd never seen before because I lived in such a small place.
So I guess it was the idea that you saw people who didn't necessarily fit society's standards.
Rules.
So like kind of like rule breakers.
Yeah, totally. And because I didn't fit in either when I was growing up, and I mean, my childhood was good, but my, you know, high school was rubbish. So I was bullied a lot and stuff. But I knew in my head, I was like, one day it will be fine because I'm not like all these people who are bullying me. So I can make something of this and use my weirdness or uniqueness to instigate change and do something good.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, whether it's, you know, racism, like, that's just one example. At the end of the day, we're all human beings. We all have the same emotions.
Totally.
So, you know, everyone's unique, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're complete two different individuals.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I want to do is try and give people a platform with this show where they can come and talk about the challenges they've had in their life and how they've overcome them, which I think you are doing.
I think the standards that society make are completely false because everyone is so unique. It's like everyone's DNA structure, and when you get down to the basic cells and stuff, it's everyone is completely different. So you can't really say that, you know, there's certain types of people and things.
Yeah.
So I find that really interesting that society still does that when people do crazy, unique things.
Great stuff. So let's talk. First of all, let's talk about Arts in Fife, Arts in Britain. What's the story behind it? Why did you start it? How did this all begin? What's the story?
Well, I'm an artist myself. So when I started out, I was creating work and exhibiting all over the place. And really, it was really hard to get promotion because I was living in a small town. And, you know, Scotland isn't great at supporting its own talent. You know, it's like you have to sort of go to London and all these big cities and stuff to actually get your voice across. So I've done a lot of travelling to England and stuff, and I get funding from England for my projects. But Arts in Fife started basically because I was getting no promotion. And I thought, well, other artists in this area must be the same. So I wanted to create a magazine or something that could give them a platform to speak and to show their work. So it started as a little magazine and then developed through media into radio. And that's what we have today, is a radio show. It's like a 10-minute feature, and we interview artists and let them have a voice.
Cool. So I guess you took what was the challenge you were facing was, I can't, no one will promote me, so I've got to promote myself. And that's the way this, you know, Arts in Fife and Arts in Britain came about. So talk to me more about the art, you know, like, do you showcase all types of art?
Yeah, the project is basically because I couldn't get promotion for my own work, and there was a lot of exclusion in companies here, like what type of art is accepted and, you know, things like that into exhibitions. So I thought I need to make a project which is completely inclusive of all forms of art, whatever it is. You can talk about it, shout about it, tell people your opinion, show people it, you know, that was the whole point of the project, and there's no age limit. So I wanted it to be completely open to everyone. And it is really good. It's you get a lot of interesting people coming through.
What the message is, you're open to everyone, every type of art, you know, you're not excluding anyone. Just on a side note, it's made me think of a question that interested in your take on it. What was your thoughts on the whole Elastic Heart video, the way the media, it was portrayed in the media? Do you have any opinions on that at all?
I don't know if I've seen it, the Elastic Heart.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell me a bit about it? I might have seen it. I just have a rubbish memory.
Well, it was like, I'm no expert or anything. It was just a video, and the way some people portrayed it in the media was basically saying that it was promoting paedophilia, which to me, it does not. It's that video was art, I guess, in a way. And I was just curious if you had...
Is that the music?
Yeah, the music video. Yeah.
I think that's ridiculous as well. I don't think that's paedophilia at all.
Mm.
I think art has... I mean, you know, art began as painting naked people, so it's like, you know, it's pretty out there anyway to begin with. And I think if it's someone writing about their experiences, they have to, and they're making a video, they're obviously going to have to somehow, in some way, try and act it out, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know, I think everyone has an opinion on art, and it's all very... it's however you interpret it, but I didn't think it was paedophilia at all, yeah. No.
Yeah. Agree 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
So, tell me before Arts and Fife and Arts in Britain began, what was your journey like from the time you left school? I don't know, did you go to college? What's the story?
Yeah, I went to high school and I didn't get on well at high school. I got bullied for just looking different and being different, and I was gay, so it was like, you know, the obvious. And it was really, really difficult to engage in high school, so I left when I was 16. I was told by my head of house or whatever it's called, she said that I would never get into art school because it would be too difficult and people didn't do that. So what I found interesting growing up without the support of education like that is that I found that normal schools teach you to be a worker. You know, you have to shut up and do what you're told and don't ask questions. And I'm not like that at all. I question everything, and I always tell people to question everything. Don't just do something because you've been told to. Always ask a question first. And then I've met people since who have went to private school and things, and they're always taught to be the leader. So they're taught to run their own business and go into stocks and do their own thing and earn their own money. So it's completely, so it's like a social chasm in between. There's like, you're taught to be a worker or a leader. And so to be in that environment and try and get out of it and try and be your own person and lead in your own life, it was a big learning curve. But I went to college and ended up doing art, and I was told at college I wouldn't get into art school again. And I was the only person in the class that got into art school that year at age 17. So I thought that was like me on my way. And I thought this was the path that I would take. And I got to art school and it was nothing like what I thought it would be. It was basically, you have to paint this way. And I was like, that's not creative.
Yeah.
That's not inducive to anything positive. So I kept questioning everything and they didn't like it. So eventually I got thrown out after my first year. So after they threw me out, they told me, my printing teacher told me that I would never be successful and that I was too common to be successful in the arts. And I just turned around and walked out the room and thought, screw you, I'm going to do this anyway. And that sort of spurred me on. Like, everyone else is telling me I can't do all these things that I'm best at. So I couldn't understand that. So I just kept believing in myself. So it was a very lonely experience for me in the arts. But I got there, and 9 months later, I won my first national award, Local Hero Award. And since then, I've won about 15, 16.
Yeah, like
I'm kind of good at winning things, but I don't know why.
Yeah, I've looked at your achievements up on your website, and like they're incredible achievements.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because growing up, I always had people be negative about my talents, and so to be rewarded in other places, you know, like especially the British Empire Medal from the Queen, you know, that's based in London. So I never thought I would make that big an impact to receive something from another city, you know, that I don't go to a lot, to say, like, you're doing great. So it means a lot. It really does. And I think people are always scared to talk about their achievements in Britain. I think it's just a British thing, like politeness. But I always encourage people, like, if you've won something or done something, you should talk about it and you should be proud of it and you should just wear it on your sleeve and say, I've done it, because no one's going to know unless you tell them, you know?
Exactly.
So I think it's good, and it spurs other people on, especially, you know, like the people who feel like they don't fit in, like I did. It's good.
Well, that's like, it's a really great, like, very inspiring story. And you're actually giving me goosebumps right now. Just to let
oh,
you
really?
Know. Like, it's a great story. So you were talking a lot about when you were told you'll never make it in art school, you'll never become an artist, you're too common, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And you say it's your belief that got you through that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you, or is it something you've always had, that belief?
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's obviously been times where I've doubted myself and everything's gone tits up and I've been like, oh my God, everything's going wrong, you know?
Yeah.
You know? But I get through it, and I think, and to this day, I still get people like, I don't get any funding in Scotland. Like, my project's a Scottish project, but it's not supported by Scotland in any way. Anyway. So it's a really strange position I'm in.
Mm.
It's, you know, I still get that, you know, companies in Scotland trying to say, like, you never do this and you never do that. And I'm like, well, I've done it, you know? So
yeah.
It's like, I don't understand why people are so scared of young people coming up and changing the way things are done. I think everyone should do that.
Why is it that Scotland won't support you, but England will?
I don't know. I've always found it really strange, but, you know, I mean, the people that are in my project are all Scottish and they're all great. You know, the people that are on my level and the artists involved, and they're all amazing. It's like when you're trying to get funding and, you know, the big companies, they're, I don't know, they're really strange about promoting their own talent. And it's something that really bothers me about Scotland, is that, you know, no one famous from Scotland has ever made it in Scotland. You know, Lulu went to London, you know, the Proclaimers went to London, you know, it's like...
That's a really interesting point.
It's a really strange thing, because you have Wales who are filming Doctor Who and they promote all their own talent, you know.
Mm.
Ireland, Game of Thrones, everything like that. You know, and Outlander now is the big thing in Scotland and that's being filmed here, but still it's an American thing.
Mm.
It's not
very
Scottish, you know, it's more an American interpretation of Scotland. So I find it odd that they don't really shout out about these things that are, you know, changing creativity.
So I guess that's what you're trying to do now with Arts in Britain, correct?
Yeah.
Why not why not Arts in Scotland?
Yeah, I know. I've really thought about that.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about it. I think it'd be really good though, because there's so many, Scotland's very, I mean, there's big cities, but there's also a lot of little fractured towns that don't get the communication big cities have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be really interesting to go to places that are a bit cut off, and because there's people doing great creativity everywhere.
Yeah,
it's like I call it doorstep talent, and no one knows about it, you know. Like, there's someone across the street that could be doing something to change the world and you wouldn't know about it.
Yeah, totally.
So it's a good idea. Yeah, I'll keep it in mind.
It's just interesting from, like, me being English, I moved to Scotland when I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a surreal experience for me, my first day at school. Because I'd have, like, you know, they're just kids,
mm-hmm.
Like 12 years old, would come up to me and they'd say, really, like, come at me really aggressively and say, you're English, aren't you? And I'd be like, yeah. And they'd be like, whereabouts in England are you from? Like, again, quite aggressively. And I'd be like, I'd be like, Newcastle. And then they'd be like, oh, Newcastle. Oh, yeah, that's okay then, because you're almost Scottish. But if you were from London, I'd beat the crap out of you, kind of thing.
Yeah, there is that when you're a kid. There's a lot of, I guess it's like segregation, like if you're different, people pick, like, especially kids will pick up on it, like, straight away. And Scotland is a bit like that. They're a bit funny about English people, and I don't get it, because I like everyone, you know. I'm totally like, but I think it's because I think it's when people, if you're different or you get bullied or something happens, I think you have a much more a higher tolerance for people. I think you're not so exclusive to a certain area. And that is a problem because, you know, sometimes, like, I'm not funded in Scotland, but I'm doing a Scottish project. So to try and get people involved in that is like, why are you funded in London? You know, like, like you're like a traitor or something. But it's not true, you know. It's just like you need to go where the money is, and you bring the money back and do something great with it, you know. So
good philosophy that, and it's like as well like I love sport, and like you take someone like Andy Murray, for example. Yeah, he's Scottish, he's a great tennis player, but in the media he'll deliberately say, I'm not British, I'm Scottish.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Scotland does, don't get me wrong, I love Scotland, most of my friends are Scottish.
Yeah, same. It's a
big part of who I am. I would live there, 10 years. But there's like a culture of we're not British, we're Scottish.
Yeah.
And I've never understood that, because growing up in Newcastle, the way I was brought up, my beliefs was, one, you're a Geordie, you're from Newcastle.
Yeah.
Two, you're English.
Yeah.
And three, you're British. Okay? Mm-hmm. So if, for example, I used to play golf, like compete. If I got the opportunity to represent my town, that would be an honour. If I got an opportunity to represent England, that would have been an even bigger offer. But if I got the opportunity to represent Britain, that's more of an honour than representing England, because you're representing Scotland, Wales, England. Yeah. You know?
That's exactly what I think as well. Like my project's a little Fife project in my area. So it's like to be recognised there, and when you win things and people say, oh, it's great, and get involved, that's amazing. You know, that's what you wanted. But then when you get British-wide, it changes your perspective, because every place is different. And then also it's a lot bigger. It's a lot more important, because you have more access to a lot more people, I guess. And I think it's a good thing. I think because like I consider myself British, so I guess I'm completely different. And it's because I've been kind of nurtured by Britain to do things in Scotland. So that way, with the British Empire Medal and things. So yeah, there is a lot of nationalism in Scotland, though. So there is a lot of you know, I'm Scottish and not British, and it is strange, but you know, I like everyone.
I don't know enough about the history, and
well, people are proud of where they come from,
and they should be.
I get it. Yeah, totally.
And I guess like I'm no expert on history, so I don't know the ins and outs. But at the end of the day, like, we can learn from the past, but what happened in the past is in the past. All that matters is where you are now, what you do in the future. So back to your point about, you were talking about your belief, and you mentioned that sometimes that belief was shaken, like not so strong. So, but you're still able, well, what it sounds like, you're still able to almost talk yourself out of that negative headspace. Like, if you had to describe the debate that was going inside your head, you know, what would one side be saying? What would the other? And is it kind of like self-talk you use to stay positive?
Yeah, well, I always think if I'm having like a really rubbish time and things are going horribly wrong, as it does sometimes, you know, I think, you know, oh, I can't do this. Everyone's telling me I can't do it. But then I always stop everything and I do something random. Like I go outside anywhere I am, I go outside and I look up. It's a really strange thing. Like if I'm in a city and I'm having a bad day, I always say to my friends and stuff, you should look up, because you'll notice something on a building that you've never seen, or just something random, like a bird flying past, and it'll just be like, yeah, you know, the world's a lot bigger than this one problem right now. And, you know, I've got, hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, touch wood, that I've got a lot of years to live life, you know. So I just think, I don't bother about failing. I just think, well, if you failed, it means you did something different and you tried it and you found out a way not to do it. So I guess I do talk to myself and I think, you know, just stop. I stop thinking about everything and I do something completely different, something random. Like one time I went down the road, maybe about a 20 minute drive away, and just fed deers, you know, like just something random, like to take your mind off it. and just to keep everything in perspective, I guess. It is hard as well, because to have belief in a world that doesn't really have a belief, you know, it's very, it's not anything religious, you know, it doesn't have to be. It's, I always say I'm a universalist, like I believe in the universe and I'm in it, and that's it, and it's all pretty amazing and beautiful. And I do have a tendency to notice beauty everywhere. And I guess that's part of being creative as well. So, yeah.
Love it. That's really great advice. So it's not, what you're saying is it's not just about your thoughts. Like, it's about actually physically changing your environment as well. So, like, going outside.
Yeah.
Just, I guess it's all, it's kind of like, I've had a couple of guests on the last show and they were talking a lot about meditation,
which is
something I found that's helped me. And I guess there are different forms of meditation. So in a way, that's what you're doing could be considered as a meditation type, like feeding the deers.
Yeah.
Is just being in the moment. And
yeah,
that's a really
just not having not having any brain activity is important when you're when everything is going horribly wrong. Also, I would say if there's people around you that are constantly pushing negativity towards you, I would say I wouldn't even like humor them. I would just get rid of them, just like that. I wouldn't put up with people telling you you can't do something, you know. I just think, right, you don't need them in this idea, you know, or this space.
Yeah.
You can do it yourself. It's fine. It'll work, and you'll meet people eventually through the internet or where. That's the great thing about the internet as well, you know. You'll meet people who think the same and who are doing different things, and that's great.
I mean, exactly. That's how we met. Like, we
met. Totally.
A funny story. It was on. So the way it happened was, we've not spoke about this because I've not told you.
Yeah.
I saw you tweeted out an episode of London Real, and said how it was your dream to do what Brian does, like to host your own show.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just came up on my Twitter feed because the London Real retweeted it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I read it and it struck me straight away because you mentioned your dream starting a show, and it's something like I've dreamed about as well, and I've actually gone and started it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I was like, I just had this feeling that I was like, I need to message this guy, you know, you don't know what's going to come of it.
Yeah, and
that's,
totally, yeah.
That's the power of social media, internet.
It's great though as well, because that's the great thing, because if you, like, I do radio just now, and yeah, my dream is to, you know, be on the radio. Funny that. And, you know, I was listening to it and I thought, I can't believe I found this random show. It's like really amazing to hear people interview really interesting people rather than, you know, just like, you know, dumbass celebrities, you know, it's like people who have stuff to say.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, it's more about dreams and things, yeah. So, and then, so when you messaged me, I was like, yeah, totally, like, let's do it.
Like, that show has, I try not to use the phrase, it's changed my life and stuff like that, but it's had a huge impact. Like, the people that go on that show, they're so much more smarter than I am, and the advice, the practical benefits you can get from watching, like, just download it on your iPhone when you're driving to work, whatever, stick a podcast on and you can learn so much. It's better than listening to, you know, all the negativity you do hear on the radio on the way on the way to work or wherever you're going.
Yeah, that is one of the things that I want to push in the work that I do through, you know, arts and media.
Yeah.
Is there's so much negative media, especially geared towards young people. It's like youth is always coined as a negative. And I don't really think it is. So I want to change the way people think about media. Like, you can have positive media and it be interesting, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be like death and maiming and horrible things happening all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It can be fun and you can learn from it. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so you say, I read your aim is to inspire and investigate positivity via the media.
Yeah, instigate positivity.
Yeah, instigate, sorry. I was wondering if you could expand on that exactly. You know, you just touched on that just earlier. Maybe expand on it a bit more, what you mean, what you want to maybe achieve further down the line.
Yeah, well, I had I mean, it's going to sound really, really out there and strange, but when I started my photography business in art and doing my own thing, and then that was sort of not working for me. So when I started Arts and Fife to try and get promotion for other people and help others, I thought, right, I'm just going to randomly go to a psychic and
okay.
just on the off chance that they might say something interesting. And I was really, really negative at the time, and I was like, this is going to be rubbish, you know. And I was sitting there not really paying attention, and they told me things that, like, when I was 19 at the time, and when I was 21, 22, like last year and the year before, all the stuff that they said started to happen, and I got really freaked out. So, yeah, I kind of thought, there's lots of things that I've done where people have said you can't do, and that's mm-hmm. something that's stuck with me forever. And so I don't want other people to go through that. If you're told you can't, you damn well should do it, you know. And I think, so I was told things that happened, and it was really strange. And I ended up being on a TV show and doing things like acting and things like I never thought I could do, because I was always told I couldn't. So I'd never ever thought about it, and then the opportunity came up out of the blue, and I just took the opportunity. So I turned in, so going to the psychic sort of turned me into an opportunist. Like, I was like, anyone who says something like, do you want to do it, I always say, just say yes and think about it later, you know. You know, try it out. I think you should try things all the time. And because I had negative experiences, I want people to have positive ones, and I hope that I can do that through media and creativity.
Great. So you touched on earlier, we were talking about your awards and your achievements, and you're an advocate of, you know, when you do achieve something, telling people about it and being proud. So, like, I'm curious to know, which one of your achievements means the most to you? Which are you most proud of?
Definitely the British Empire Medal, mm-hmm. Because that's the biggest thing, you know, that I never even dreamed that that would happen. Mm. I mean, I always had this sort of thing in my head, like, oh, I would love to, like, meet a royal or something, just to, like, say that I've met one when I was little, and then I never thought about it again. So doing all this sort of community work and artwork, I sent the book, the Arts in Britain book, around different galleries and things, and I just was like, on a off chance that the Prime Minister or someone famous and influential will read it, I'll just send it to them and see what happens. So I just literally posted it to the Prime Minister and the Queen, and just was like, they probably won't read it, you know. And then I got a letter back from the Prime Minister's office saying, you know, it's really great what you've done, and there's a chance you could get this medal for it. And that was when I was 21, so, and I wasn't allowed to tell anyone. So it was really, really difficult, because I was really proud of what I'd done. Like, it was just like, I think it's just be as pushy as you can, and you might, you never know where it can lead, you know. And yeah, so I was really just chuffed with that. It was, and I got to go at the garden party and meet the Queen and stuff, and it was just something that, you know, everyone had said people like you cannot do, and I thought, well, I've done everything else that they said I couldn't, so let's try and, like, see if this works. And it did, and it was great.
Wow, congratulations, man. That's like, it really is a truly great story. Something I've been thinking about recently is achievement and success. Mm-hmm. Obviously they're related, but does achievement guarantee success? So you're someone who's won a great deal of awards, had a lot of great achievements, but at the same time you seem very, you know, level-headed, humble, got your feet firmly planted on the ground. Whereas someone, for example, like, you know, you get the young up-and-coming kids, rock stars, who, like, this is an extreme, get all this fame short-term, and then further down the line it leads to problems, which so I've got this idea that although success and achievement are linked, achievement doesn't necessarily guarantee success long term.
I think achievement does not guarantee success, you know, like I've achieved things and no one's given a crap about it, you know, like I have, like, and I thought that people would, you know. It is a bit different, and I think it's different however you measure success. Like like you said with rock stars and stuff, they're given a huge amount of money and a platform of power, but they're given it at a time when they don't know how to use it. They think that everyone grows up thinking, oh, I want to be famous. And they're like, but they don't seem to get that why they want it. You know, like fame is a platform where you can do an amazing amount of good. And I think if you don't think about the long term and think about what you want it for, there's no point in having it. And I think if you measure success in money too, you'll go out and you'll earn money and that's great, but don't expect anything else, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's the same with if you go out to do good and achieve things, you'll achieve them and you'll do good, but you might not get the money or you might not get the, you know, the other stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't, you know, you know, desperate for a paycheck here. No. No, but so it's very, very different however you measure it. But I always measure success in opportunities. So the opportunities that I get, that is my success. And I got to travel to Dublin to the One Young World Summit and do a radio show there. And I did the same at the Pangea platform in Madrid just in January. So those to me are like big things, that it's like my opportunity to do my radio stuff and really push that. And that to me is success.
Cool. So you mentioned doing some community work, doing good. Yeah. You've got quite a lot of, it looks like you've had a lot of experience volunteering.
Yeah.
Could you talk a bit about what you've been doing, what kind of projects you've been getting involved in, and how you've been helping the community or whatever projects you're doing?
Well, I started volunteering when I was 16 in a local Oxfam shop. And it was when I left school, and I didn't really know what I was doing, so I did it to occupy myself. And it eventually began getting really interesting, and I thought the bigger picture is actually really interesting of what we're achieving here. And I mean, people often do like community work and voluntary work as a, you know, like a fad to get attention, or you know, some people do that, not everyone, but I just did it because I thought it was the right thing to do, you know. And I think also if you've been bullied and stuff, again, it's like you've had people be horrible to you, it's like you want to be an instigator of positivity in the world. Mm-hmm. You want to do things that you've never done before that are going to create the biggest amount of good or the greatest amount of good. So I started when I was 16, and then I just started doing the Edinburgh Art Festival and helping out with the galleries there. And so it was experience that I could use in my creativity, and also it was voluntary and helping the community. So it was, you know, two birds with one stone. And then I did an exhibition with in 2012 with a group of blind artists, blind photographers. And that really changed my whole perspective of photography and art and everything, because they couldn't see their work, but they were creating this amazing stuff, and they had other ways of seeing it and doing 3D printing of the pictures to see it, to feel it, and you know, just really. And that's when I started going into the community stuff with Arts and Fife, and I thought, you know, there's too many interesting things for no one to be doing this, because I mean, there's projects in separate areas of Fife, but there's none that links the whole of Fife together. And then I tested it out in Britain as well, in different locations with the Arts in Britain book. And, you know, people seem to like it. And I just think it's using my own initiative and experience that I have. You know, I have media and arts experience, and using it for social good, I guess.
Cool. So let's switch lanes here. And let's talk about poetry.
Yeah.
So poetry is something, you know, I didn't enjoy school like yourself, so I do actually remember at school kind of enjoying poetry, but it's not something that I've pursued. But it is something that really is, lately, I don't know why, it's got my curiosity, like, and I want to, you know, kind of start to explore poetry more, maybe start reading it more, maybe even trying to write my own, I don't know. What piece of advice would you give me or anyone else? Where would you suggest we start?
Well, I think, yeah, it always begins at school when you're learning and you think, oh, there's got to be, you're being taught all this stuff that's predetermined and you're like, oh, there's got to be something different, you know, like there's got to be something interesting here. Like, so you start thinking about things and making things up in your head and writing and using your own experiences. So I would say just the best thing to do is write down all the bad things that have happened and just like express all your feelings on the page and just random words and things even, and just pick together things that are interesting from it. My poetry is all very much based on the problems I've had. So it's like my way of therapy. Like I write all the crap down and then leave it at one side and other people can read it. Other people can deal with it, you know, they can read it and put up with all the emotional crap, you know. And then it's a way of getting it out of your head as well. But I think just if you have a knack for it and you enjoy playing on words and writing and expressing yourself that way, you should definitely just do it. And I think writing random words that you like, words that you like, it sounds really strange, but if you find a word that you really like, write it down and try and fit it into things and, you know, make, create sentences out of it. I think that's the way you start poetry, definitely.
Okay, cool. So I read you wrote your first poem when you were 10 years old, and you did just touch on this, and you said your poetry reveals a clouded view of the world. What do you mean by that? Is,
well, like I said, it was all the, my poetry is all the problems that have happened to me. So it's the times when I think, why is the world like this? Like, why is it so negative? Why is it that I'm the bad person to people when really I don't think I am, and I think I'm doing all this good, and yet people still don't want me to succeed in things, you know, at the time, you know. So it was really about exploring the darkness in the world, and all the negativity, and getting it out in a creative way and turning it into something, again, something positive, because you're creating something out of nothing. So it's an interesting thing. And I started when I was 10, but my granddad's a poet as well, and he taught me how to write and just stupid things, you know, just like trying to make me laugh and things. So we would do that and always rhyme sentences and things, and that's how I first got into it. And we had to do a project at school about the moon. So I wrote a poem about the moon, and it got published when I was 10. And so that was kind of fun at the time, and I thought, right, that's that. And then I never thought about it for 10 years. And then when I got thrown out of art school, and I was a bit emotional, I thought, because I thought that was my dream, to go to art school and be an artist, and it never happened. So I had to rethink it, and I thought, I'll write down all this crap in my head and get it out. And so I did that, and I got into poetry again, and got into, I've been published in a few anthologies and stuff, but really it's not something I push professionally. It's more, I guess, a hobby, but it's something I enjoy, definitely.
So would you recommend, rather than necessarily reading other people's poetry, just writing your own, or is it a combination of both?
That's interesting, because everyone's different, but I don't actually read any poetry. Because, I don't know, I always find, like, I want it to be completely pure from my head. I don't want it to be influenced by anyone or anything. Like, I want it to be completely just the thought or the emotion or whatever it is. But there are poems that I read occasionally, but I don't make a habit of reading poetry. it's probably really bad and probably not very literary of me, but, you know, I think everyone's different. If you like reading other poetry and get inspiration from it, then that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's interesting to me, because there's a famous quote from Picasso, and he says, "Good artists copy, great artists steal." So, like, I've recently just started doing a lot of writing with the blog, mm-hmm. and now I'm writing for London Real. But that's honestly what I do. I steal great ideas, and obviously I'll credit them if it's someone else's idea, and then turn them. I'll take bits of information from different sources and pile it together, and that's my process of putting a piece of writing together. What's so interesting about what you do with your poetry, that's complete opposite to me. It all comes from within you. Like, it's not influenced, like you say. So that's really fascinating. And that's, I guess, why I'm curious about poetry, because I don't think I've explored that side of me, or if there's something in there, you know, like you say, that dark place, sometimes maybe you don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's something we all need to get more in touch with.
Yeah. Yeah, when that quote is good, because when I was doing art, you sort of try and do styles and copy and things. Mm. But then when I started doing like my own thing, just making it up as I went along, no one liked it. You know, the teachers were just like, why are you doing this? You know, you know? So yeah. I decided like a long time ago that I wouldn't call myself like, describe myself as an artist. I would describe myself as a creative or a creator. So I create things rather than art them, mm-hmm. if that cool. makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, that quote's interesting, because I do the opposite. I do the opposite. Yeah. So it's really strange.
Yeah. That's an interesting, like, we could have a long conversation about this, like a spirit
yeah,
of debate,
totally, yeah.
which is the right way to do it. But I don't think either way is right. It's up to the individual.
Well, yeah. It's complete creativity in all its forms is completely objective, and I think every single thing in the world is objective. Everyone has different eyes, so you're going to see it differently anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and you have a different upbringing, a different mind, different way of thinking, living. So there's no way you could possibly just decide what something is. You have to just accept it for how it is, and what the artist or whoever was thinking, and go all right, that's cool, you know, or I don't like it. But I think the problem with the art world is the critics, you know, like they seem to have this feel that they have this authority to decide what things should be, and I don't really think anybody has that authority. I think you just accept things for as they are and sail through life and get on with it, and, you know, just accept that things are different.
Cool, 100%. So next question. If you had to write a list of all the things you wanted to do, what would the top three things be on that list?
Oh, oh my God, that's hard. I'd love to see every wonder of the world, you know, like every ancient wonder of the world. That's something I really want to do. I want to be able to have a voice on radio and say what I think and not be dictated to in life. That's probably the third one. I don't really want to do what I'm told in life. I want to have a life which is open to every possibility, and I hope that when it comes to the time that I die, that I've lived a really interesting, crazy life and experienced things that people just go, what the fuck? You know, they don't have a clue what that is. But yeah, I think I just want to have stories that I can tell when I'm old and people think I'm past it, and, you know, I'm just an old horrible man, like, bitter about the world. I want to be able to tell young people stories and they think, well, you did all that, you know, like, what the hell. I think that would be a really interesting thing to achieve.
Cool. So that would be start your own show. Sorry, what was the first one again?
See all the wonders
of the world.
Yeah.
And then I guess the last one if I try and sum it up in...
Live an insane life.
Yeah, I was thinking more like inspire people.
That's and inspire like
the message that I got from it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would like to do that. I would like to think that, you know, I'm a young person and I never really had role models as such, as in like the things I've achieved. I've never known anyone else that's like, I don't know anyone that's had a British Empire medal and things, you know, so I didn't really know how to put that across to people. So I hope when I do put it across to people that it inspires other people that you can do anything.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So I want to just thank you now, Stuart, for coming on and sharing your story. Before we do wrap this up, do you have time to answer some like quick fire questions?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, cool. Go for it.
So the first one, do you have any morning rituals, or what does an average day look like to you?
Well, I morning rituals. I don't really have any rituals. I tend to like, I like to have every day different.
Okay.
I don't like to have a routine as such, which, much to the disappointment of everyone else around me. You know, but I guess I don't really have one. I'm trying to think.
What do you have really for breakfast?
I don't eat breakfast.
Don't eat
actually.
Breakfast. Yeah, that's
no,
cool.
No.
All I have is coffee. So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't really. I can't eat in the morning. Mm. I just feel like awful and sick and stuff if I eat in the morning. It's really strange.
Mm. I think a lot of people like myself. I'm not hungry in the morning, so I don't eat.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really like ravenous at like dinner time though. So I eat a lot at dinner time, but yeah, I guess I don't have any rituals as such. I'll try and have a think later.
Yeah, like, you know, like that's the cool thing. Like, I'm someone who has have quite a rigid morning, because when I wake up in the morning, I don't want to make decisions. I just want to do things that set me up for the rest of my day. But at the same time, sometimes I think I am too anal. About my routine, my plans, like I'm very like that. So I'm trying to do is chill out, basically. Yeah. like that's what you do, you know, you roll the punches, be in the moment.
It does annoy everyone else though, because everyone else likes to have a plan, you know, like, well, you know, the bus will come when it comes, you know, the train will come whenever, you know, and everyone gets annoyed with me. But like being on this, like I am a really big dreamer. Like I really like, I'm up in the clouds sometimes, and I think because I'm creative as well, I'm always thinking of things that don't exist. So I'm, you know, so I'm always trying to, in my head, invent things and create things. So I'm not really all that with it sometimes. So that I don't really have a routine.
That might lead us on to my next question. What's your biggest strength? Would it be that imagination, that creativity? Or is it something else?
Definitely imagination. And ever since a young age, I've always, I guess, pretended. You know, like when you're young and you pretend play, like, you know, like I'm James Bond and stuff like all that. So I did a lot of dressing up and pretending. So I still do that. I do like acting sometimes. So... It's quite funny that everything I did when I was younger, I never thought I would do now. And so I had a big period when I was doing art in between. And that sort of distracted me from, actually, if you don't lose your childhood, you know, is what I would say to people. Because I did dressing up. I did radio on my friend's karaoke machine. I made little magazines with him. And just for fun, you know, and I never thought you could do it professionally. And now I am. So yeah. It took me a good 10 years to figure it out. But, I guess imagination. And I'm also really good at coming up with ideas. Mm-hmm. So I always say to people, like, no matter what you think, or if you steal my idea, it doesn't matter, because I'm 5 ideas ahead. You know, I'm always like, it's just the way I function. I'm always thinking of something new, because I don't like the way things are done in the world. And I didn't really fit in. So I think there's got to be a better way of doing things and all the time. So that's something I'm good at.
Cool. So, next question. If to someone who's, say, listening to this, and say they feel like they're different, like you felt like you were different. Say they feel like they don't really fit in. What kind of piece, what one piece of advice would you give that to them?
I would say don't try and fit in with those people, because you don't anyway. So you're going to waste a hell of a lot of time, which I guess I wasted a bit of time growing up, you know, at high school, mm-hmm. trying to not be visible. And I think, you know, if you stick out like a sore thumb, use it to your advantage, you know, like be different. I don't think people should try and make society like them, you know, or accept them. Don't chase acceptance. Mm-hmm. Never do that. And also never do what your parents would do, and never do what another person would do. Always think about what your mind is saying and what you're thinking and how you're feeling. I think it's important to make personal decisions. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd say, you know, like those people who are like crazy about one celebrity and things,
yeah,
like the believers and stuff, you know. Like, I always think, why would you gear your whole life around one person or one situation or one thing? And why would you gear your life around a certain aspect? I think you should just be open to everything and take opportunities and be an opportunist. And if a door opens, jam it open with your foot. You know, like, I always say, like, you know, that God always opens the door, closes the door and opens the window. I think if the door closes, jam your foot in it and make people listen to you. And if that doesn't work, climb out the window, you know, like, you know, just, you have to push through. And it's harder now, because even though we've got the internet and it's a really good platform for people who feel different, I think there's so many people in the world who want their say and want their, you know, fame and stuff, all that sort of stuff. And I think, go into things for the right reasons and have the right expectations, you know. Don't expect anything. Don't expect things. Mm. Don't have any expectations, because then you won't be disappointed.
So it's really about embrace the thing that makes you not fit in, embrace the thing that makes you feel different.
Yeah, totally. And don't shut it out just because they don't agree. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of things I don't agree with, but I wouldn't be nasty to a person for believing it, you know. I think there's a lot of that with religion as well, you know, that happens a lot. Like, you don't believe what I believe, so I'm going to hate you. And I think, well, you know, I don't hate you, you can believe what you like, but I think differently, and that's the way it is. And I think you find that life gets a lot easier if you just accept that it's nuts and it is absolutely crazy, and everyone does different things, so embrace it and just let it just go by you and say, that's cool, you know, go with it.
that's good advice. So who, I'm wondering, who inspires you? We touched on this earlier, maybe you don't. Is there anyone who stands out?
Well, apart from the crazy people on TV in the 90s, I don't really have any role models as such. There's lots of people I like, but lots of people that I'm meeting now at events and things, like people who are young, like myself, and doing projects of their own and have great ideas, I think they're really inspirational. And I think anyone who voices positivity is great. Mm. But I don't really know about a role model as such.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't really have one. I really like Angela Lansbury, the actress. But that's just because I used to like, when I was younger, my mum was a single mum, and she used to do the ironing. And when I was a baby, she used to like sit me in the washing basket propped up with pillows while she was busy, you know, like you had to put me somewhere. And I would always be sitting in front of Murder, She Wrote. So from a very early age, I've always like been interested in her work, and she's very interesting too. And we were actually, and it was really interesting because we were on the honours list together in 2014. Like, she got her damehood, so she was at the top of the list, and I was way down at the bottom of the list getting my BEM. So that was kind of cool. And yeah.
Great. What's the best piece of advice? Well,
See, because we've touched on this already. The question is, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of... Well, I've not really had advice as such. I think the best thing I've been told was by... Well, it was when I was having a lot... When I quit art school and stuff, and it was, oh, like, I wasn't very happy, and I was working in Boots part-time, you know, and it was just like, what do I want to do with my life? And there was a random drunk lady who came into the shop at, like, 9 a.m, and I think... And she just, like, I was putting makeup away, or someone was shouting at me because I wasn't putting makeup away right or something.
Yeah.
And I was just, like, really, like, at the point where I was like, this is degrading and I'm fed up, you know, like, I was just, like, almost in tears. And then this woman just, like, I turned around and this woman just, like, grabbed me by both shoulders and she just went, no matter whatever happens in your life, just remember that you're always beautiful. And... like inside, and then she just wandered away like drunk, and I was like, oh, where am I? Right, okay. And I don't know why that's always stuck with me. It's like anyone who's saying you're not right or correct or anything, it's like, well, you're not trying to be right, you're just trying to be the best version of you. So yeah, I think everyone has to remember that they're all beautiful in different ways, and that's probably the best thing.
Great stuff again. last question.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way people can find you? If, say, there's someone who's an artist and is struggling to get their work recognized, how do they get in contact with you?
Well, I think the best way to get in touch is on Twitter, at Stewie Artwork, S-T-U-I-E, Artwork. Everything's on Twitter, so my website link's there, and you can email me from my website. And also... the Arts and Fife stuff, I'm actually just doing a new website, so I don't really want to give away the website just yet because I'm not done yet. So yeah, the best way is through Twitter and through my website, stuartrussellartwork.com. You can email me there.
Cool. So what I'll do is I'll include all those links in the show notes. For anyone listening, you'll be able to find that at dreamexec.com/Stuart. Remember, you can listen to this on iTunes, Stitcher, or you can come and see our faces on YouTube. I think I'm going to wrap this up now, Stuart. Thanks again for being so generous with your time and taking the time out to talk to us.
No, it's been great. Thank you very much for inviting me on. It's been really fun.
Oh, you're welcome. And I think, you know, there could be people out there who can really take a lot from your story, because it is, like, it's inspired me. So,
oh, that's good. It's done something useful. That's good.
So, like we say here at Dream Real, it's about you. And Stuart, we wish you all the best in the future, and please come back again soon.
Thank you, I will. Thank you for having me.
Next week on Dream Real, we have Mr. Donald McCormick. After graduating from university with 2 law degrees, Donald has struggled to find work and is now making a difference, working and living in Zambia with Africa and Nepal. He's gotten a really important message, which I'm looking forward to bringing you guys. So thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time.